Well, this morning, we're going to be continuing here in our series, Point of Doctrine, and we're in part two of a biblical picture of God. We want to start as we think about biblical teaching, as we think of points of doctrine, we want to start with an accurate and biblical picture of God. We're going to take our Bibles this morning to the book of Isaiah and chapter 45, Isaiah 45. And I hope that you will follow along in your Bible through the Word of God today. Isaiah 45, verse number 12. We'll read several verses here before we go to the Lord in prayer. Verse 12 of Isaiah 45, the Bible says, I have made the earth and created man upon it. I, even my hands, have stretched out the heavens, and all their host have I commanded. Verse 18, for thus saith the Lord that created the heavens, God himself that formed the earth and made it, he hath established it. He created it not in vain. He formed it to be inhabited. I am the Lord, and there is none else. Now to verse 21. Tell ye, and bring them near. Yea, let them take counsel together. Who hath declared this from ancient time? Who hath told it from that time? Have not I the Lord? And there is no God else beside me, a just God and a Savior? There is none beside me. Look unto me, and be ye saved, all the ends of the earth, for I am God, and there is none else. Let's go to the Lord in prayer this morning. Father, we thank you for your holy word. We pray that you would stir in our hearts today, that you would help us to truly have a biblical picture of you, Lord, our mighty God. Help us to even tremble before your presence. Oh Lord, we come in the name of Jesus, the one who gave his life blood, his righteous blood, that we might be saved and cleansed of our sin. Lord, I'm thankful that I come washed in that precious blood. Lord, I'm thankful for the cleansing blood that's available for whosoever would come to Jesus. Lord, we pray that you would help folks to come to him, Lord, through our witness, through the outreach efforts we have made into this community, through the Perfect Peace Bible Study, through other tracts and gospel witness contacts. We pray that you would stir and that you would use our witness, Lord, in these last days to bring people to Jesus. Lord, we pray that you'd grow this congregation in the likeness of Christ. We pray that you would grow this congregation in more people coming to know Jesus as their Savior and desiring to grow in the Lord. Father, we lift these needs up to you. Father, we are frail. We in ourselves can do nothing, but with you, we can bring forth fruit. With you, we can do your will. And Father, I pray that you would strengthen us and use us for your work in these days. Bless this time. Give me the words to say, Lord. Guide my thoughts. I yield myself to you. It's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen. A biblical picture of God. Very important that we start with this. And we had a good introduction last week. If you didn't hear last week's message, I encourage you to check that out. But we are going to continue forward here. We see God here, our Creator. We've seen in just a few verses that we read here from chapter 45 of Isaiah, verse 12, verse 18, tremendous verses about God, our Creator. And certainly, He formed this earth and this world. He created it to be inhabited. He made this planet for us. This is our home given to us by God, our temporary home. And so, we see our God last week is the only true God. He is one of a kind. He is unique. And I'm thankful that we learned last week that He is a just God and a Savior. He is a just God and a Savior. Oh, friends, we have a faithful God. He is not a crooked God. He is not a shady God. He is not a corrupt God. He is not an angry, superpower that's got devious motives. No, He is a just God. That not only means that He does what's right, for in fact, He is the standard of right, but His law is good, but also He will hold us to a moral standard. We, as His creatures, human beings, we have been created in the image of God, and God is a just God, and He holds us accountable. And so there's a real heaven, and there's a real hell, and there's a real Savior who wants to take each one who is willing to heaven by faith alone, in Jesus alone, we can be saved. And so we have a wonderful God who has loved us and who has given Himself for us. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. He is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. We're diving into another aspect here of a biblical picture of God. And so it will be our point one this morning, which will be point two in this second part, of course. And so He is a real person. Who is God? I want you to understand that He is a real person, someone we can have fellowship with. God is a real person. He is not a mere force. Some people talk about their higher power and these kind of impersonal words to describe some very strong and mighty force. But I'll tell you what, God is not just a higher power. He's not just a big, massive machine. He is a person who we can get to know, a person who desires fellowship with us. He is the one who came seeking us. He is the one who came when Adam and Eve were hiding in the Garden of Eden from sinning against God, and their fellowship with God having been broken, and they, in their shame of their sin, were hiding from God. And God is the one who came seeking and calling for them. And my friend, God is the one still seeking and calling for people to come to Him. He is the one who has made peace with us through Jesus Christ, the Son of God and God the Son, who came to this earth and became one of us. He took on human flesh. He who is God Almighty, God Eternal, came to where we are, died on the cross for our sin after living a perfectly sinless life. And He offers salvation to whosoever will. He is a real person, not a mere force. God is not merely a figment of our imagination. Man's imagination is powerful and strong. That is true. We can imagine all kinds of unrealistic things. But I'll tell you what, God is real. He is not a mere figment of our thoughts. But rather, even though we can't see Him with these eyes, although God has revealed Himself in, of course, the person of Jesus and other times, but you know what, the fact of the matter is, God is invisible to these eyes, unless He specially reveals Himself. But the fact of the matter is, He's real. He's a person. I want you to listen to some of these words from the book of Genesis about how God thinks and works. Genesis chapter 1. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. And the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. And God said, think about how God thinks and works. And God said, let there be light. And there was light. And God made the beasts of the earth, verse 25, after his kind, and cattle after their kind, and everything that creepeth upon the earth after his kind. And God saw that it was good. And God said, let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowl of the air, and over the cattle, and over all the earth, and every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him. Male and female created he them. You are a person with personality that can think and work and make decisions. And God created us in his image. And this is an aspect of what that means. Genesis 2 verse 1 says, thus the heavens and the earth were finished, and all the host of them. And on the seventh day, God ended his work which he had made. And he rested on the seventh day from all his work which he had made. And so we see that God thinks and God works. He has purposes and plans, and he carries them out. I want you to also see that God has joy and sadness. God has joy and sadness. Consider Genesis chapter 6, verses 5 and 6. These are available here on the screen as well. Speaking of Noah's day, in Noah's day, God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. And it repented the Lord that he had made man on the earth, and it grieved him at his heart. It grieved him at his heart, the sinfulness of man. You can see how God has sadness, joy and sadness over man's condition here, particularly mentioned, grieving God. And we could look at many other verses on these topics that are revealed to us about God in his word. But hastening on, I want you to see that God loves and God hates. God loves and God hates. Consider here Jeremiah 31 verse 3. A portion of that verse. Yea, the scripture says, I have loved thee with an everlasting love. Therefore with loving kindness have I drawn thee. Now we could point out that this is perhaps very specifically mentioned to Israel. It certainly encompasses more than just the Jewish people. God has loved us with an everlasting love. Therefore, with loving kindness have I drawn thee. Consider also the words of Proverbs 6. Proverbs 6, verses 16 through 19. These six things doth the Lord, help me now, hate. Yea, seven are an abomination unto him. Abomination means a stench in the nostrils. And so seven things are going to be listed here. Verse 17, a proud look, a lying tongue, hands that shed innocent blood, and heart that deviseth wicked imaginations, feet that be swift in running to mischief, a false witness that speaketh lies, and he that soweth discord among brethren, things that God hates. So God loves and God hates. He's not a mere force. He is a person, someone we can have fellowship with. God is someone with whom we can communicate. You know, communication is important to building a relationship, and the interaction of fellowship happens through communication. I think of the words of Jesus in Matthew 11. Matthew 11, where Jesus says, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest.
Jesus, God in the flesh, the visible image of the invisible God. Jesus says, come unto me. You see, we come to a person. God is not a force, although he's very powerful. But he is a loving, caring person. Consider James 4, a few words from that selection of scripture there. James 4, 6 through 10 communicates, among other things, draw near to me and I will draw near to you. God, again, calling on us, calling out to us, reaching out to us and saying, come near to me. You come near to me. I'm going to come closer to you. What an amazing, amazing truth that if we seek God, we will find him. Look at Jeremiah 29 and verse 13. Jeremiah 29 verse 13. And ye shall seek me and find me when ye shall search for me with all your heart. Some people would say, yeah, I tried that religion stuff. Yeah, I read the Bible. God didn't do anything for me. I never felt anything. Well, the Bible says here that we need to search for him with all our heart. The Bible tells us that faith is a key that unlocks the presence of God. Faith is a key. And so we must come to him in faith, believing and trusting. And he is real. He is a just God and a Savior, as we have already seen here. A just God and a Savior from Isaiah 45. Oh, my friend, he is loving. He has cared for you. And in verse 22 of Isaiah 45, he says, look unto me and be ye saved, all the ends of the earth. For I am God, and there is none else. You can have a relationship with God. You see, God is not a religion. God, in essence, is not a church. He's not a denomination. He's not a set of rules. God is a person. Does he communicate what is good and what is evil? Yes, yes. Has he given commandments? Yes, yes. He is a person that we need to draw nearer to. I think of Adam and Eve. They had walk with God. Before sin entered the world, before they disobeyed God, the record there in Genesis 1, Genesis 2, and even Genesis 3 indicates to us that they aforetime would walk with God in the cool of the garden. Of course, sin broke that. And Adam and Eve were told that in the day they disobeyed God, in the day they ate of the fruit, they would surely die. In the day, God warned. I've given you all these trees of the garden, but of that one tree, the knowledge of good and evil, thou shalt not eat of it. For in the day that thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die. Now, Adam went on to live for hundreds of years. He was an old man when his body was placed in the grave. But I'll tell you what, that day they died spiritually. Ephesians talks about this, how we're dead in trespasses and sins. Spiritual interaction with God was broken. The human spirit, which is where we communicate with God and have communion with God, it was dead. Our human spirit dead because of sin. Fellowship broken. Oh, but Enoch, we are told, walked with God by faith. He believed God, even though he did not have as much truth as we have. He had enough, and he sought God, and he had a testimony that he pleased God. Consider some of the words. I'm just going to read a few for time's sake from Genesis 5, verse 22. It says, Enoch walked with God after that he begat Methuselah 300 years and begat sons and daughters. In verse 24, and Enoch walked with God and he was not, for God took him. Enoch had a testimony that he pleased God. I think of Noah. Noah had a relationship with God. In chapter 6 of Genesis, verses 8 and 9, the Bible tells us that Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. These are the generations of Noah, we are told. Noah was a just man and perfect in his generations, and Noah walked with God. Noah walked with God. We could go throughout the Bible and find people who had a relationship with God. God is real. He's a real person with whom we can have fellowship with. Through the Lord Jesus Christ, you can be saved. Saved from your sin. And you can have fellowship with God. Spiritual life with God. John chapter 3 verse 17. John 3 verse 17. The Bible says, "For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved." The Lord Jesus Christ did not come to condemn this world, not at that first coming. He came that we might be saved. Salvation. And so, who is our God? What's a biblical picture of God? He's a real person with whom we can have fellowship. We've also seen that he is the only true God. Well, let's continue on here and look at another aspect. This would be number 3. He is not limited to a body. God is a spirit. God is a spirit. Sometimes we get so stuck in the physical realm of thinking that we limit God. God is not limited by a body like we are. The aspect that we have a body, this physical body, flesh and blood and all that, this is part of the humankind, the human creation. God is a spirit. When Jesus left heaven's glory, when he came to this earth, he took on the form of man. He was made in likeness of men, and a humble one at that. And so God is a spirit. Notice John 4, verse 24. John 4 and verse 24. God is a spirit, the scripture says, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. God, by his very essence, is spirit. He is spirit. He is not material. He is spirit. Very real. Very real. In fact, the argument could be made that the spiritual realm is more real than the physical, of which we are familiar. The spiritual realm is eternal. The physical is temporal. Consider the words of Solomon as he dedicated the temple. In 1 Kings 8, verse 27, "But will God indeed dwell on the earth?" Solomon said. "Behold, the heaven and heaven of heavens cannot contain thee, how much less this house that I have builded." God transcends the physical realm. God, in fact, is here this morning at Victory Baptist Church. Matthew 18, verse 20 says, "For where two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst of them." Where two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I. Where is Jesus? Where is he? He said he'd be here. He's here, all right. He's gathered here. We're gathered in his name. Two or three or four or seven or 10 or 12 or whatever. We are gathered here in God's name. He is here. He's real. God transcends the physical realm. Yet he is very engaged in the physical world. Very engaged. He created it. He maintains it. He is present working in it. Knowing all things. Seeing. Caring. Working. Our God. Consider Isaiah 66. Isaiah 66. I'm going to turn over to this one here. And verse 1 and verse 2. Consider these words. The Bible says, Thus saith the Lord, the heaven is my throne, the earth is my footstool. Where is the house that ye build unto me? Where is the place of my rest? For all those things hath mine hand made, and all those things have been, saith the Lord. But to this man will I look, even to him that is poor, and of a contrite spirit, and trembleth at my word. God says here, boy, you could build a massive edifice and call it the house of God. But God points out that he cannot be captivated, contained. He transcends any earthly dwelling place. Oh yes, the assembly of God's people, he meets with them. Yes, he does. But heaven is his throne, the earth. He gives these visual pictures, this imagery of how vast he is, how big he is. The earth, in its vastness and magnificence, is just God's footstool. Where is the house that's going to contain him? There is none. He is incontainable. He's transcendent. But what gets God's attention? Look at verse 2, middle of the verse. But to this man will I look. Here is someone who gets my attention. Big buildings, beautiful, ornate, gold-plated things. In all these beautiful, wonderful works of architecture, those don't get my attention, God says. But to this man will I look, even to him that is poor. This is someone who's humble. They've got a recognition of their spiritual poverty. They have a contrite spirit. That means there's repentance over their sin, and they tremble at what God has said. They tremble at his word. God says, now there is someone who gets my attention. God is a spirit. Someone with whom we can have a relationship with. God is a spirit. He transcends the physical realm. And we can get his attention through humility, repentance, and listening to his word. Giving our attention to him. Consider how God describes more of himself. Not only is he a spirit, but he points out very clearly in his word that he is invisible. He is invisible to these human eyes. Consider the book of Colossians in chapter 1. The Bible says, in whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins, who is the image, of course it's speaking about Jesus, who is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature, the image of the invisible God. Consider also 1 Timothy 1, verse 17. The Bible says, now, unto the King eternal, immortal, invisible, the only wise God, be honor and glory forever and ever. Amen. God is invisible. By his very essence, he is spirit. He is not bound to a body. He is not limited to a physical realm, though he can reveal himself in the physical realm. God also, I'd like to point out some other aspects that he can be in more than one place at the very same time. Distance, space is no hindrance for God. He transcends these things. He can be in more than one place, in fact, many places at the very same time. Consider the scriptural teaching of how the Holy Spirit of God comes and literally indwells every person who trusts Jesus as their Savior. I mean, there he is in each of your hearts. For you who have believed on the Lord Jesus Christ, there he is in your life, in your very life. And he says, I will never leave you nor forsake you. In my life, in your life, and you can travel hundreds of miles away from me, and he's still with you and he's still with me. And furthermore, we already looked at Matthew 18, verse 20, where two or three are gathered together in my name. Boy, imagine how busy God is on, you know, and well, of course, the time change around the globe, but how busy God is when God's people are meeting together. And of course, it's not just on Sundays. I mean, God is obviously in thousands, tens of thousands, millions, yea, even billions of places at the same time. That blows our mind. God can hear your prayer, even if you don't use verbal words, even if you don't make a sound. He knows your thoughts. He is a spirit. Our communion with him is on a spiritual level, not a physical. It is a spiritual level. The Bible tells us that his spirit bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God, Romans 8:16. The spirit level. God is a spirit. Oh, friends, amazing truths we can see here that give us a biblical picture of God. A biblical picture of God. Let's recap this a little bit as we draw it to a close for today. God is a one of a kind, only one true God. Oh, there are idols all across this land. There are people who are serving and bowing down to all things, including the quote-unquote almighty dollar and other idols that have captivated people's attention, that have taken God's rightful place. But there is only one true God, and he is a just God and a Savior. We've seen that. Secondly, we saw that God is a real person. He's a real person, someone we can have fellowship with. We can turn to Jesus in faith for salvation, and he will save us. We can walk with him. We can walk in the light. We've also seen, number three, God is not limited to a body. He's not limited to the physical realm like you and I are. God, in essence, is a spirit. He's a spirit, and we can have communion with him on a spiritual level. We need to seek God, as Jeremiah pointed out to us by the Holy Spirit of God, that we need to seek him with all of our heart. You make a half-hearted search for God, you will come up short. Not because he is not willing, but because you were not willing. Seek him with your whole heart. Come to him in prayer. Talk to him. Seek him in the scriptures, his holy word that he has revealed to us. Oh, friend, maybe you're joining online this morning, and maybe you don't know Christ as your Savior. Maybe there's a level of of confusion and fogginess with regards to who God is and to any kind of relationship you have or have had with him. You know what? God wants you to know him and to know that you are his child, to know that you are saved. You need to come and trust Jesus as your Savior, if that's your need. You need to come and realize He has died so that you could be saved. He's paid the price. You can call on Him and come to Him in faith, and He will save you from your sin.